everyone, and welcome to a Twilight edition of China EVs and More, where my co-host Lei Xing and I will go over the week's most important and interesting news coming out of the global EVAV and mobility sectors. We will open the room up at around the 40-minute mark to anyone who's keen to ask us any questions. What Lei and I discuss today is based on our opinions and should not be taken as investment advice. For those that are new to the show, welcome. And to our loyal listeners, welcome back. We ask that you help us please get the word out to other enthusiasts about this podcast. And of course, tune in again next week. My name is Tu Li. I'm the managing director at Sinoauto Insights, a global management consultancy that helps bring innovative and tech-focused products and services to the mobility sector. I read a free weekly newsletter that we pull many of our discussion topics from. You can sign up for it at sinoautoinsights.com, which of course, I encourage you all to do. Guten Tag, Lei. Can you please introduce yourself?
Guten Tag. Guten Abend. Good morgen.
Good. Oh, yes.
On my side.
Good nacht. Good nacht. Good nacht. I think that's how you say good night.
Yeah. So. Wow. Good morning. Good morning. This is your co-host, Lei Xing, former chief editor of China Auto Review, and coming to you live from Stuttgart, Germany. And this is episode number 157. Thank you for accommodating. I know this time throws us both off a little bit, but I'm traveling all day tomorrow, so I figured it'd be best to do it this way. Wow.
Well, all the things that you've seen and experienced are also fresh in your mind.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to remember, everything from, because this week I'm in Germany, starting off with Leipzig, ending in Stuttgart, because I got invited to the Porsche annual press conference. And this is, I was here 5 years ago, attending the same conference. So this is from, I'm putting my Chinese media hat on because I still have this relationship with the PR people from China and, from all the years of previously in China Review. And it's always like, they always have this program right off from when you arrive to when you leave, like this whole program, the annual press conference, the global debut of the Taycan Turbo GT, press conference itself, dinner, visiting the Porsche Museum, visiting the Leipzig factory, the Porsche Experience Center. I did a taxi ride, what they would call a taxi ride, with the Taycan Turbo GT, and I ended up throwing up. It's like one of those once in a lifetime experiences.
Basically a roller coaster ride.
Yeah. So like, one whole day, 2 days ago, it was nothing but riding the bus from Leipzig to Stuttgart, like all these programs.
How long did that take?
Pretty much all day. Stop at Nuremberg, which is okay. Right in the middle between Leipzig and Stuttgart. So, Leipzig would be considered Eastern Germany. And Stuttgart would be kind of like the Bavaria, almost the Bavaria, right? And then, today was the Porsche Museum and the Zuffenhausen factory, and specifically the Taycan factory. So this is the whole program they organized. And the China media entourage is always, they always get the special treatment because China is such a important market. So, yeah. I would need your help to talk about stuff on China because it's difficult to keep up.
Yeah, no worries. Well, I think the most important thing that happened this week, Lei, is outside of the Porsche launch is the Volkswagen Media Day or Media Week. So
yeah, I read your newsletter and I think this would be a good perspective because the CEO of Porsche and CEO of Volkswagen Group is the same man, Oliver Blume. And one of the most interesting things out of Porsche and a press conference was there's about like 40, 50 media from the world and some, I don't know, half a dozen questions asked. And
so they let you watch the Volkswagen Media Day press conference.
Yeah, so on the 12th was the Porsche annual press conference, and on the 13th, which I was on the road, I kind of live streamed it.
And let me stop you there.
Yeah.
So they had Bluma, they had
Meschke for Porsche, and then
Meschke,
and then Arnold Antlitz for the a CFO of Volkswagen Group.
The CFO. They're in Berlin.
Yep.
At the Design Museum.
The Drive, I think it's called the Drive. It's one of the.
And this is their annual media day or week for Volkswagen Group.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And usually the way it goes is usually Volkswagen Group would have the group media conference. The next day will be the Volkswagen brand. Next day will be Audi. Next day will be Porsche, Skoda. It goes on in the same week.
Right.
But this year it went a little bit different. Like Porsche came out first and then the group and then Volkswagen. I think Skoda, maybe Audi is tomorrow. And Audi is launching the global debuting in the Audi Q6 e-tron. Which is the sister model to the electric Macan, based on the PPE platform, next Monday.
We should remind the folks that the Macan was launched a couple of weeks ago, I think.
January 25, I believe, in Singapore.
Yeah, so the Macan EV will start shipping later this year.
In the summer.
And so part of what VW Group and Bluma said was this is their most ambitious year for product launches with over 30 globally, with the Taycan GT, Turbo GT, and Macan being two of them. And then you said the Skoda, the Audi Q6, what did you say?
Q6 e-tron, yep.
Q6 e-tron, several Volkswagens, including the recently approved by the Beijing government ID Qnix?
Unix.
Unix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a Cupra.
Tavascan
clone.
Clone or sister model. Whatever
and
you want
to so,
call it.
And so. And I was told, we were told that the, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Lei, the turbo is now going to be used similar to how BMW uses M and Mercedes uses AMG as a performance surname for Porsche vehicles on the EV side.
Yeah, so basically turbo equals performance. That's all it is.
Because when Taycan launched, originally they had a turbo version, but there was no difference, really. There was no turbo in it, and so they got kind of roasted for that a bit. And now I think they're differentiating by saying, okay, turbo is now our M or our AMG or our V series for Cadillac. So so tell me, man, what did you think of the Taycan?
Yeah. So let me continue with what I was saying about the first of all, the Porsche press conference, 50 global media, about two dozen questions asked, and half of them touched upon China. And I've attended quite a few of these before when I was, at China Auto Review. Never have I seen this much attention. I mean, usually it'll be the Chinese media would ask about the China questions. But
yes.
But this year, I mean, wow, those China, like it felt like every other question had a China component. And there's two reasons for that. One, the big 15% drop in sales last year, the first double-digit drop since they entered the market in 2001. That's number one. And then number two is because of the recent China EV threat, the China EV offensive, China EV export, the price war, the bloodbath in China.
Because last year, Porsche sold around 362,000 units. I don't think they lost that much.
320,000.
320, sorry. And from a volume standpoint, year over year, they didn't lose that many.
They grew.
Because I think the United States and Europe made up for the losses in China. But if we take a step back and look at Volkswagen Group and the importance of Porsche to Volkswagen Group, we know that the lion's share of Volkswagen Group's profits come from Porsche, come from Audi, and the lion's share of Porsche's profit comes from China. So indirectly, if Porsche sneezes, Volkswagen comes up with a cold.
And well, that's the thing. And 18% return on sales. I mean, that's pretty good, right? But the guidance that they gave was 15 to 17% for 2024. But I think that day, it was interesting. At the end of the day, I think their stock went up 11%. They're still the number three in terms of valuation behind Tesla and Toyota.
You're referring to Porsche, though, right? Not Volkswagen Group.
Porsche.
Yeah. So, because we should also note, Lei, that Porsche is publicly traded, but is 75% owned by Volkswagen Group. And Volkswagen Group is publicly traded.
Well, the
and
whole...
Porsche... Because Porsche's valuation is higher than Volkswagen Group's.
There's a Porsche holding which holds shares in both, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to say that the questions on China, I thought Oliver, they were actually pretty prepared and they answer all the questions pretty candidly. I think there's three sense that I got was the expectations. One is the expectation that they're probably going to lose again this year. And that's why in your newsletter, you point out at the very beginning that this value over volume thing, right? How do we interpret it? I think he mentioned that. And second, he mentioned something about, the real estate market, kind of these people that have real estate lost value and they lost, these disposable income. And
you're referring to the Chinese consumer.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they understand what's going on. They're going to have the expectations not going to be. This is the same for Porsche as it is same for Volkswagen Group, the group in China. Because I told Oliver the good times are over. That is your right resetting and. Hence, I get the sense that 2024 for both Porsche and Group in China is a transitional year. And I get the sense that these launches, whether it's Porsche or the whole group in China, I think in China, the group is launching 40 NEVs over the next 3 years. 40 models in China over the next 3 years, half of them NEVs. The expectation is that first of all, 2025, the economy will, recover. And then 2026 is really the offensive, even though they said this year is the product offensive, but 2026 will be the offensive in terms of kind of like the group making a comeback. That's what I'm sensing. So 2024, I don't think they expect major turnaround. In 2024, that's why they keep mentioning value over volume, right? It's a different way of admitting, right?
They see the turn happening in 2025 and then gaining stride in 2026.
Yeah, yeah. So we look at a bit longer out into the future. But having said that, 2024 is such a huge year for the group because they're celebrating 40 years in China. 1984 is when Shanghai Volkswagen right started, so it's a big year. They're doing a big event at the Beijing Auto Show, and trust me, I think this year the way they want to do this is while their volume may be falling or stagnating a little bit, they want to continue to invest in other areas. So expect announcements in terms of like partnerships, local partnerships. That may not help volume wise, but
it's resetting the foundation.
Yeah, resetting foundation.
For an EV future in China leading to the rest of the world.
Yes. And so I think it's, I mean, it's quite frank. I think Oliver, he answered, even at the Volkswagen Group, I think there were two questions at the group media conference. One was on Xinjiang and the other one was on the EU Commission's tariff registration, which we should talk about because Ola came out saying, we'll welcome these cheaper EVs. And Oliver said, we don't, protection is not what we want. In the back of that, part of the reason is because they have so much interest in China. But
well, we should also mention that Carlos a couple of weeks ago also said that they want a free market and competition for the European market.
Yeah, and hence, right, you know, I tweeted, losers want protection and winners seek competition. Maybe they heard me. I don't know. But it's also very diplomatic, but it, I think it's also true.
But it creates a clear odd man out because they're the OG because of the Dacia Spring, but they don't have a partnership and they don't feel that they're not going to feel the hammer if the Chinese push back on any tariffs in China because Renault doesn't have significant sales.
You know, it's as much good to talk to these big shots as it was to talk some of the media there. So I talked to this reporter from the Le Monde, which is the newspaper in France, right? And I was asking him about, like, you know, what is the average French consumer think about China EVs? And he says, well, they love these cheap, you know, Dacia Spring, right? It's made in China. They love them. They want cheap EVs. And he said, it's all politicians. That's from the ground. And talking to these other Chinese media, they all think this bloodbath is actually going to drive. Same as what we're going to say, that it's really not good for the industry. The mega saga being one example of how companies compete and right, the coffin we talked about this.
It seems like some PR agencies are playing pretty dirty, or marketing agencies, social media agencies that support these EV brands in China are starting to play a little dirty.
Yeah, so. And you know, like now that Xiaomi is announcing the launching the SU7 on March 28th, the perspective that I got from the Chinese media who saw the vehicle, not good in terms of really the car itself. I mean, think about it. Like, Xiaomi announced when we started this show, right? Pretty much. They announced their entry into the EV. Was it 2021?
March 28th, 2024 will almost be 3 years after their initial announcement.
I mean, like, to these foreign traditional established more than 100-year-old automakers, it's unthinkable.
Unheard of.
And now Volkswagen Group is trying to launch the Xiaopeng collaboration model in 36 months. So I got the sense that China's speed sometimes, if we're talking about this current market environment, the competition, the bloodbath, it's kind of now has gotten into kind of a negative connotation, I feel. And, you know, Hi-Fi is only one example. There's a bunch of others that are going to be in trouble. And so the speed...
Let me stop you there, Lei, because I want to say that the ICE side, where the legacies are still really fat in China, is really where they're going to be bleeding, because they've launched a lot of EV products, but the sales has never been there. Whereas on the ICE vehicles, and I'll point to Honda and was it Nissan? Or one of the other Asian companies was talking about shutting down certain amount of capacity in China, because on the ICE side, they're just getting crushed. And now that the BYDs and some of these other EV brands are pricing below ICE, it's only going to get worse.
You know, we'll talk about BYD a little bit, but actually, I think the latest weekly sales, so March 4th to 10th, I don't know if we saw any of these numbers, BYD was number one total. I think this was like weekly sales. I saw this chart that said they beat Volkswagen brand for the first time. I'm not sure if that's true, but they're number one. And then Li Auto was number one, ahead of Aito, ahead of ABB for that week. March 4th to 10th, I think it was close to 10,000 units. So you kind of see that seasonality return, which we expect anyways in March, the leap forward, right? But yeah, I mean, this is I think the reality is the Volkswagen groups, they understand the reality. But the other part of the reality is the Chinese themselves in this bloodbath, that increasingly we're going to see casualties.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes, like, when you step, like you and me living, you know, in the Western part of the world for what, close to, you know, me 4 years and you close to 2 years now, right? Things mm-hmm. are a little bit more laid back. They're slower. Whereas China is just like, come on, come on, come on. And that would have both positive and negative consequences. And I think we're seeing some of the negative consequences of that China speed. And this is probably what also, I think these foreign automakers, they're kind of betting that they will move in at the right time when the bloodbath is over. That's the sense I'm getting after this trip. Right.
So one of the things that I had written in this week's newsletter was being a survivor. I had written about U.S. EV brands in particular, but we can use that term for the China market as well, because this is probably where Volkswagen believes it can get back some of that share that it's lost. Now, let me give you my take on Volkswagen Group's earnings in that hour-long prezo, because last night I was on CNBC talking with Sri and Martin about it for a little bit. So I studied up, watched a bit of the hour-long presentation.
And did you see how long Oliver spent on China? There's a few slides. I think spent like 3-4 minutes, right, talking about China.
And so the things that stuck out to me was that they were much more humble than I'm normally used to seeing them be. But Arlo did say that we are willing to concede that whole volume over or value over volume. But my first thought was, it wasn't your choice, Arlo. That share got taken from you.
Well, of course.
And the three things that I thought were really important, I outlined them in the newsletter, is how they said they were going to recapture that share. They had three pillars. They saw deficiencies in their products versus their Chinese competitors in advanced driving assist systems, in in-car infotainment or entertainment, and the manufacturing costs. So he outlined, we're working with Horizon Robotics on improving ADAS features. We're working with Thundersoft to improve the in-car infotainment or entertainment. And then finally, our partner Goshen is going to help us reduce BOM costs in order to be able to compete with the Chinese EV brands that we're losing out to currently. So he didn't mention anything about CARIAD, which was a little bit surprising to me. But that's, and so Arlo is a Volkswagen Group guy. So I think he's talking in general for all brands, but not all brands are created equal. We know that Skoda is close to leaving the market. Volkswagen brand, Audi has become a bit of a worry brand for them. And Porsche is still kind of in an unknown area. But one thing that I do know about Porsche, because Polestar reduced the price of their 4 in the United States by $10,000. So you better believe that they're going to be really aggressive in the China market. And that Polestar 4 is a Macan and likely, to a lesser extent, a Cayenne competitor. So that the bloodbath, I won't call it a bloodbath, but the price war is likely going to creep up into the premium segment. And we know right now they don't want to play that price war game. Let's see in July, August, September how much sales they've lost. And let's circle back and talk about that.
Yeah, and this is where we probably can talk about NIO a little bit, because first of all, congrats on the 40 million swaps. And second,
yeah,
William Lee registering his own account on Chinese version of the TikTok, Douyin. And he did a live stream like earlier, I don't know, or yesterday, China time. I mean, desperate measures, because NIO is, they've been, I think, you know, they've been a funk in the sense that, and right, the goal now is to get to that 20,000 per month, when it should already been to get 30,000 per month. And he said this pretty bluntly, that the Alps, or now the Anvil brand, is going to play into that price war thing, although NIO just dropped the bus pricing as an alternative to dropping prices, right? So these are both things are going on that how they're pressured.
And Qin Li Hong, he needed to explain how the positioning of the brands were trying to differentiate NIO clearly being their premium brand. And Anvo being their, like, so the equivalent would be Cadillac, Buick, and likely Chevrolet, right? So Anyo is their Buick. And then Alps is their...
Well, Alps is the Anvo.
Sorry, not Alps. Firefly?
Yeah, Firefly would be the Chevrolet, right?
Chevy. So I really, if he needs to explain that, then they need to be more clear.
Yeah.
I think they should have a presentation about it because it's going to confuse people.
So if you think about, Shanghai Auto Show last year was the shock, right? But Beijing Auto Show this year, there's how many new brands are launching? I look at my hand, there's at least five fingers, there's at least five of them.
And Lei, I hear that some of the foreign brands are going to be launching new products too. So last year they were largely absent from the Shanghai Auto Show. And this year they plan to at least one or two of the US brands. Let me just hint at that. And so what's going to be what to watch about the Beijing Auto Show is because we just had the two sessions and the economy is not doing great. So we're not likely going to see a ton of glitz, I don't think. We'll see. It'll be measured. It won't be like over the top, I think.
So the big message the Chinese government has put out over recent days is that huge 以旧换新 program we talked about. So trade-ins to spur consumption. And specifically in the kind of the auto EV, there should be some more concrete measures coming. So we'll see what's happening there. But I mean the general environment, I talk to these Chinese media who often go to these events, product launches almost every other day, and they're even saying it's way too toxic, that the way companies and even CEOs compete and shout over the air, it's distorted. I think the competition is distorted and the foreign legacies are not very used to that type of environment.
So there's a couple things that I want to point to really quickly, Lei. There was an article from the FT. I had spoken with Ed White about Geely and how each of their SPAC brands, including ECARX, has not done well. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Geely as well. If you take a look at FT, it's a recent article, two or three days old, about Geely. It's a great pickup from the FT because, they looked at all the SPACs, the Polestar SPAC, the ECARX SPAC,
Volvo,
the Volvo Lotus SPAC, Tech. And every single chart was a steep decline from the IPO price. If I were them, I would not do it in this market. But
the fact of the matter is, right, how do we look at these? We look at the competition, cutthroat, bloodbath, but we look at the profitability. Who are profitable? Who has a future from that perspective? BYD, Tesla, and for now, Li Auto, right?
So this is where we should give some credit, Lei, to, because there's also a New York Times article this week about BMW and how they've grown their EV sales to 300 and some thousand units. And they're doing it the BYD way, where they're still using a pseudo ICE platform and building hybrids and BEVs off of that platform. And so the article did not mention that BMW needed to press reset on pricing for those EVs in the China market. So I think, I thought it was a great article because, if we're looking at sales volume, they're doing better than just about everybody else. The other thing that I wanted to note about your whole point about mass market and talking to the Le Monde reporter, I did back of the envelope research for 2023 for the European market, the best selling plugins. They called them plugins. So that includes PHEVs. 9 of 10 cost under 50,000 euro.
Yeah.
So Europeans need and love affordable lower price vehicles.
EVs. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
The one vehicle that was above was just above at 53,000 euro, and that was the Audi Q4 e-tron. So that's going to be the trend. And the thing about the China market, Lei, is that the used car market is so robust right now. And with the price cuts on some of these EVs, the residuals are so low. The owners are getting upset, but if you're trying to buy a lightly used EV, you're probably finding great deals. So that's going to also play into new car sales in 2024.
I forget which brand it was, but I think there were some lawsuits going on because I forgot which brand, but they have promised that they would not reduce prices, but there were some dealer...
That's probably, those lawsuits are probably happening all over the world.
No, I'm talking about China. I'm talking about China.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, no, I know what you're saying, but.
I forget which brand, but it's like, and right, Li Auto launched just last few days, launched the cheaper versions.
Yeah.
Right.
What should be emphasized right now is that they forecasted 5, 6, 7 years, most of these EV brands at a minimum 4 years ago committed to X number of units capacity per year, thinking that there's going to be linear growth, and that's not happening. And they probably didn't forecast as many brands and as many products and being this competitive either.
It was also interesting that the Porsche, few questions on their 80% BEV share by 2030. So they basically said, Oliver said, while also in the press release, that they're sticking to that target, but they added a qualifier, kind of like Mercedes saying wherever market conditions allow. Before, they didn't have that qualifier. So that was interesting.
Well, every major CEO of an automaker has had to eat his or her words.
There was one chart on the Porsche press conference that their average product age is going from 3 years to 1.5 this year because of the new E-Macan, the new 911 with the hybrid coming later. The last year, the new Cayenne, the third generation of the Panamera. And by 2028, that number is going to get down to 1.3. So I was looking at that, and I was like, oh man, this is like a Li Auto speed. Like one is done after 1.5 years. Oh man.
I'm going to give a lot of credit to Volkswagen Group. I'm going to give a lot of credit to NIO. I'm going to give a lot of credit to BYD. Some of the other brands as well that are continuing to try to introduce new features, new ideas, new products. They're not sitting there just waiting for the end of the world to happen. And so whether they can execute on all of these things, that's a different topic and a different discussion to have. But I applaud that they aren't sitting down saying, okay, the China market is too far gone. Let's concentrate and focus on something else. They doubled down because they know how important the China market is.
Yeah, so I guess my summary would be, not everything is rosy for all these China Smart EV, China EV Inc. And don't yet count out the Volkswagens because they're not dead, but they're behind. But they're still trying to, you know, right? They're trying to fight. So, you know, I think the jury is still out, you know, who the winners and the losers.
And at the end of the day, when the Chinese brands say no mas to cutting price further, then the Chinese consumer are going to lean back into what brand do I trust? And that's probably where a lot of the foreign brands can pick up some sales.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this year, but likely in 25, 26, because they're for sure going to be still around.
Yeah.
Now, can a Volkswagen brand, can a Buick, because Buick is getting really aggressive. Cadillac is getting really aggressive. in the next couple of years with product launches as well. So do I ever see them getting back to these ridiculous sales numbers? I don't, but I see them settling in at a pretty significant sales volume in China still. I don't think they go to zero. Let's just say that. The last thing I wanted to talk about, because you had brought it up earlier, was BYD.
Yeah.
There was an article about some of the quality issues that they're starting to see around the world. And I don't know if you saw that article.
No, I haven't. I did see some BYDs at a showroom in Stuttgart. So, and they look pretty good.
So let me say this. I spoke to someone in Australia just before I got on tonight's episode, and he said that he has a BYD himself in Australia, but he said some of the people that are on the coast that have a year old or close to a year old BYD, they're starting to see a bit of rust. So first of all, this makes sense, right? Because Australia is a big island, so the wind blows in the salt. Now, have I heard of any, and I'm asking you as well, Lei, I've not heard of any quality spills. The reason I bring this up is because this is part of growing pains for any company. The challenges and issues, the quality problems, these are new because they're selling them in new markets. So there's different weather, different environments, different use cases. And so until I hear, oh man, the ignition switch or something like that, then to me, this is part and parcel of growing pains in becoming a global company. But what was your thought? What were your thoughts on the Stuttgart BYD? Was it pretty high end, or
it was in a prime location? They're spending a lot of money on it, I'm sure. They're working with the Hedin Group, which is their partner in Germany. They have four cars on display, the cheapest being the Atto 3. And I was talking to the sales associate, and he said about 15 to 20 sold a month. I don't know. It doesn't seem that big of a number, but what he was saying that they're giving people who trading other brands about €4,000-€5,000 incentive. So that car comes out to be around €35,000, the Atto 3. And the Tang and the Han is way too expensive, €70,000. As I put up that little video, I don't think they're selling at that price point. Someone said traffic, I said it was closing time, traffic was slow, but someone said, replies that it's slow, period. But I mean, I think it's also a statement. It's a home of Porsche and Mercedes. They have a showroom in the most, right in the city center. Right, I think that in itself is pretty significant, right? Of this China EV threat, which is, I still think now in EU and in US is overblown a little bit. Whether it's the competitive threat or whether it's the data threat, it's overblown a little bit. Because, I specifically get from Leipzig on the bus to Stuttgart, I was trying to look for China EVs on the roads. It's not representative on the autobahns, but I saw one BYD and one Lincoln Co. I didn't see that many China EVs on the roads, at least not in the volumes that I thought I would expect. And especially after hearing, oh, they're coming, right? And we've been talking about they're coming, but it's going to take some time. And as you pointed out, that growing pains, right?
Well, in the challenging economy and the price war might whittle down the number of entrants anyways. From China, just because of the fact that they ran out of capital to build. That's a real reality. I mean, look at Aiways. They didn't sell anything in China, so they're looking at being an export only vehicle. That's basically what the MG brand is. And so the other thing about the German market, I think most of the executives get a company car, so it's like a lease the company gives to them. So it's a little weird. I won't say weird. It's just different than what I'm used to. But Lei, it is 9:50. Let's keep on talking because I'm about good.
Yeah, I'm about good as well. But
let's open the room up. There is one comment, and I will open the room up for questions. If you have any questions, raise your hand, and we'll try to answer it, pull you up, or put a comment in the comment section. Peter has written, having been in China a few times last year and noticed that consumers' behaviors changed quite significantly, more value-oriented rather than luxury brand conscious. Did you guys get a similar feel? What impact could be to luxury auto brand sales in China this year?
I think he answered his own question right there.
Right.
Because China is not a market. Well, you have some brand loyalty, but I think the new generation consumers, you know, Xiaomi is, I think a lot of people is a brand that some a lot of people very much looking forward to. But I don't know if they get the price. If the price is right, hey, they'll sell. But that's the difficult thing.
Honestly, Lei, I don't even know if it's going to be that. Because look at the Mega. I think there could be a like espionage that says some social media post like just dumps on it and then it just goes viral.
Well, what I'm saying is that this lack of brand loyalty, meaning any brand could work. There's also appetite. But look at the Polestones, right? There's also some recent news that they did not sell a single car. I said it's a Li Auto wannabe. These type of things, like, I don't wish, you know, bad things on these compete, but at the end of the day, it's you know, they're going to be exiting the market.
Survival of the fittest, buddy. It's survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah.
You got to keep your head down. You got to keep grinding. I just don't know how long this pace can keep up. I think by the end of this year, everyone will be pretty exhausted.
Yeah.
The one company we haven't talked about a lot, at least in this episode, is Tesla. And I just tweeted, I predicted that. I said that 24 is worse than 23 for sure. And I said that we're not even into April.
Yeah. They're about to fall below 500 billion market cap or something. Like they dropped a lot today.
Yeah.
Right? So because of a few, I think, analysts.
Yeah, they're getting dumped on. They're getting ganged up on a little bit. But a Model 2 comes out 12, 14 months from now, all will be forgiven, I'm sure.
Let's hope. But,
well, Elon was in Berlin, and he said that they would be building the 2 in Berlin. So,
okay.
But he also said they would be building it in Austin. So maybe this is their first global car that's going to be built in multiple regions or three regions.
No.
Because, well, I take that back because the 3 and Y are built in three regions too. So I should take that back. But
that would be 4 because in the earnings call, he said Texas, Mexico, a third location to be decided. Maybe it is Berlin. Maybe it's Shanghai. I don't know.
Well, this is pure speculation, but I was reading something about them pulling out of Mexico. So, or at least delaying it, just like Rivian has with Georgia because of the interest rates.
Yeah.
So, and for Rivian, I think that's a great move because they haven't filled capacity on Illinois.
Yeah. I think as a US EV startup, I think it was just feel good to see that. Right, that there's a lot of future and a lot of things to look forward to.
But yeah.
Other than that, it's not the China market dynamic. Far from it. It's night and day. Right. There's hundreds of Rivians in China, basically.
And you're talking about companies, not individual vehicles.
Yeah, companies. Yeah.
So yeah, hey, I'm gonna let you get to bed, dude.
I don't know if I will. Like, I got to head to the airport in 3 hours. I'm probably going to stay up.
还有啤酒吗?
No, this bottle I finished while I was doing this episode. I was sipping. I was literally sipping this bottle of Pilsner, Guttgarter Hofbräu.
We're going to get back to it. So actually, next week, my sons are on spring break, so we'll have to figure out what we're going to do next week.
Oh, right. Well, my daughter is returning to school next week from her spring break.
Nice. Yeah, so I'm going to be on a cruise ship in Florida. So.
Oh, man.
But
we'll figure it out.
But that you'll have to keep, you'll have to catch up on China and then keep me figuring out what's going on.
Yeah. It, yeah.
No, this was a good, I think this was a good episode focused on Volkswagen, Porsche and everything. So everyone, appreciate you spending your morning, afternoon, evening with us. We will figure out next week.
Yeah. And thank you for the timing. I thought this was the only thing that worked because during the day, my time, it wouldn't work.
No, this actually is fine to me, but
it's fine to me as well.
I think it's not. I think our European listeners might prefer 9 a.m. So, anyways, hey everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We will talk with you all next week.
All right, man. Bye bye. Talk to you next week.
Hey, safe travels, dude.
Yep. Thanks, man. Bye.
That brings us to the end of this week's show. Lei and I thank you for tuning in. My name is Tu Lee, and you can find me on Twitter at Sino Auto Insight. That's SinoAutoInsight. You can find Lei on Twitter at LeiXing77. That's LeiXing77. If you wouldn't mind rating and or reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you grab your podcast from, we'd appreciate that as well. Even better, if you enjoy this show, please tell your friends about it. Please join us again next week as we track down all the latest news on China, EVs, and more.